Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Yes, once again, favorite time of the week for me, Buckhead Business Radio. Your host, Rich Casanova, here in the studio, in our beautiful Peachtree Offices studio overlooking the amazing Buckhead view, which we pay a minimal fee for. We don't have to pay for this million-dollar view, but just enjoying. And we have a great lineup in the studio here this morning. I'm going to just say welcome to our guests that are joining us. And we've kind of an interesting theme. We'll be talking about all kind of topics, money. How to save some money, how to work with your money, interesting new ways to exchange money. And so first up, we have on this in the studio joining us is Wally Monarski.
You did a great job.
Wow, I got it. We've been practicing for like actually since yesterday on that name. Yeah. So I'm just going to call you Wally from here on out. I don't want to jinx it.
That's perfect.
Fair enough. Yes.
Stick
or yes.
Yeah.
All right. So so Wally, you're here with Elevon. And we're going to be talking, obviously, in depth about that. But where do you all rank in merchant card processing? It's a global organization, right?
Yeah, a global organization. We process in over 33 countries.
Wow.
So we are a top five payment processor. It all depends on how you slice the numbers.
Yeah.
So we have a large customer base, and we rank in about the top two for the number of customers we actually have.
It's crazy because we had a rep in a while back in the studio, and I guess the average civilian may not know the name. Right. And yet they're in the top five, certainly the top 10, no matter probably how you rank it. Right.
Yes. Yeah. So we're actually like a white label business.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A lot of the bank brands that you would know out there, U.S. Bank Merchant Services,
right.
Some of our other partners that are out there, smaller banks, as well as Costco Merchant Services. We do provide services through different channels. So
yeah, yeah.
You do know our name through
right.
somebody else.
Exactly. Nice. Through your friends.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, your business partners. And you're going to be chatting with us this morning, a different perspective on the company, right?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to be talking a lot about the innovation that's happening in the space, particularly mobile payments, and what does actually mobile payments mean. A little bit about our Grove initiative, which is a startup-like business and
yeah.
inside a larger company.
I know. That's. I was reading the information before the show, and it is interesting because it's we have some other startups in the studio this morning, as well as right in the backyard of ATV. And as huge as your company is, the billions of dollars of revenue and the global reach, what you're going to be talking about is this kind of like startup within this massive brand, right?
Yeah, sometimes you have to think differently.
Yeah.
Eric Reese wrote a great book out there about the lean startup. If you read that and follow that methodology, that's something that we follow as well inside a bigger company. So
nice. Got a good reference. Got a lot of nodding heads on that one. And speaking of nodding heads, we have joining us in the studio, speaking of startups and also from the payment perspective, a couple of gentlemen here from going to be talking to us about Bitcoin, but from the perspective of this Atlanta Bitcoin Consumer Fair that's been created. So welcome to the studio, Stancil Johnson and Jason Kronk.
Thank you very much for having
us.
Thank
you.
All right,
thank
did I get
you.
The names right?
Yes.
That's always, if that just makes my day. If I can get there, the rest of it's easy. All right, so, and y'all going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about our Bitcoin Consumer Fair, why Jason and myself came up with the concept,
okay.
The value to the consumer, as well as the business owner.
And give a plug for when and where this takes place.
So this is happening this Saturday, April 18th, at the Loudermilk Center in downtown Atlanta. There will be a reception Friday evening, but the majority of the event happens at the Loudermilk Center during the day. And then Saturday evening, there'll be a dance party at the Basement nightclub.
Sweet. Basement dance party, yeah. And I imagine most all the transactions, you can bring your Bitcoins on down and... you're going to be talking to us about that.
Yes, we will.
All right. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. And first up joining us in the studio is Kyle Valencia. And welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
And you're going to be talking. Well, we're going to jump right into your interview. Before we do that, just a quick snapshot of your background, bringing us up to speed. You've owned and operated Valencia Productions for 11 years. Currently, you don't look old enough to have been in business over 10 years. But
I have three boys.
Oh, wow.
A white picket fence.
Wow. That will do you well in later years, for sure. All right. So, and you're currently the founder and CEO of Motive. How do you
Motive Deals?
Motive Deals, okay, and fundraising. That's the hot topic we're going to be chatting with you this morning. This is the digital version of those plastic fundraising cards, and we're going to kind of get into it. Before we do, talk to us about Valencia Productions. What's the idea there?
Yeah, so I actually started that right when I was kind of getting out of college, and it's basically started as a photography company.
Okay.
And then in the last years, it's kind of been a production company where we do photos, videos, corporate headshots, medium to small productions where we help companies promote themselves.
Okay. And is that still up and running? And you still in the driver's seat on that one? Or
It is. We're only taking kind of our bigger clients right now,
yeah,
as Motive Deals has kind of gotten a lot of traction in the last 6 months.
Yeah, nice. Well, that's good news,
yeah,
right? So that's kind of paying the bills for this new venture or launch, but this has been around for a little while as well. The Motive Deals?
Yeah, we've been around for two years.
Okay. And so that's a question I'm kind of run. I was thinking about this yesterday, but with this whole conversation of startups, at what point does it, we'll do maybe this during the panel discussion. What point does a startup no longer a startup? It's a living, breathing, thriving, profitable company or whatever, right? So think about that for the roundtable. But let's jump back into your offering. So what was the impetus behind this or the idea?
So basically, Motive Deals is the digital version of those plastic fundraising cards. So it all started when one day, after years and years of people knocking on my door, these kids, high school football players, trying to sell a little plastic deal card. I thought, I buy it out of duty. I want to help support the local or local schools. But then I always left it in my car or left it in my wife's car, and I never really had it. And so I just thought there has to be a better way. And I kind of started my ideas and thinking through how to kind of create a company.
Right. So so this will kind of replace and expedite, make it more efficient. And so kind of walk us through. I went to your site the other day and I saw a deal for Discount Tires.
Yeah.
And I thought I need to jump on that. So I probably have to do that after the show. So kind of paint a picture for those. What sets it apart? Kind of what's unique? What's your unique selling proposition, I guess?
Yeah. So basically, we're all digital and it's we make it easy to fundraise with organizations. So
okay.
the coaches or the boosters, they decide to fundraise with Motive Deals, and we set them they set them up with a fundraiser, and all the kids have to do is download the app, hit the sell button, and it shoots it out to their network of Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah.
They can text message, email, and all of those people who actually buy a membership, it all gets contributed back to Little Timmy, who sent it out. And
right.
Then there's real-time leaderboards on the coaches can see, who's winning,
right.
The rewards and all that.
So that's nice because for this, when they're fundraising for sports activities, by nature, they're already competitive.
Correct.
So now you've added that component to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's a competition because I used to sell candy. I mean, back in when I was in school for different groups, I was a junior achievement in school. And yeah, I was very competitive on, I was guaranteed I was going to win those prizes. So do the schools then offer prizes for that up to them?
They do. And yeah, we actually have a platform where the coaches can input the prizes of what they want to offer.
Oh,
and then
man,
the kids can see who's won what prize. And we're actually working on some new technology where we're not going to, we didn't want to kill entrepreneurship within this because it's so easy just to push a button and
right,
get this. So we're launching a new technology where there's going to be even more competition within that fundraiser, within the kids, like an ambassador program, basically.
Right. So they can create teams. Could they do teams then as well?
Not teams, but
yeah,
you'll be able to see literally how much other kids can actually be making on the fundraiser.
Oh, okay.
So
nice. And kind of accountability and they can measure. Because we had some folks in from the St. Baldrick's Foundation, and they had an app where teams, kids were actually involved in kind of similar thing, but they were raising for a nonprofit for a cause.
Mm-hmm.
And so have you thought about the cause platform? Or sometimes, I don't want to get people too sidetracked from their main plan. It's like stay in your lane or whatever, right? But
no, we've been talking to some large organizations like that already, and kind of going down that path where they're interested in possibly white labeling our technology,
right,
where we can just kind of slap on their logo, their deal, and they can use their corporate partners to jump on the platform.
Right, because you have the premises of it, you have the back end, the platform, you have the social proof, and it's been working. So kind of make it more push and play for them, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what are some challenges when you first launched that? And if you were talking to yourself, what do you say, 2.5 years ago?
Yeah.
So say rewind 3 or 4 years ago, what notes would you make yourself or that would make things a little more streamlined or a little fast track?
Yeah, I think the biggest one would be to network more.
Okay.
And it took me a little bit to realize the power of networking. And so the biggest kind of thing in my box of tools is really my phone and my contact list.
Right.
And so it would just be to get out there and talk to more people.
Now, how's this different than like crowdfunding, or is there kind of similarities, more similarities than differences, or vice versa?
I'd say there was more differences than similarities, because this is not really funding through a crowd. It's helping. We like to say we're helping the community by building the community.
Okay.
And so we're helping the community through these organizations who are fundraising, and right. they're making money and they're raising funds for their organization. But then we're also building the community, because it's 100% free for these local businesses to jump on the platform.
Wow.
So Discount Tire. So they can log in and they can create 150% offs or whatever it is that they want, and it doesn't cost them a dime other than what the deal that they're offering. So we flipped Groupon's model on its head, essentially.
Yeah, and then you're going to sell it to Google, right?
Hey, that'd be awesome.
I don't know how they missed out on that. That they were offered, what, $6 billion?
Yeah.
For that, right? And they said, no, we're good. We'll wait, right? Yeah. I mean,
sometimes it works. Sometimes it's a Snapchat, and it's a good thing, but...
But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, and maybe some other people afterwards can chime in. But my recollection is they were literally approached by Google with a $6 billion. Right?
Yeah, they were.
And what was...
I think they just thought that they could make it even bigger. But then the Groupon remorse started where people... Yeah. You know, basically Groupon is gouging... in a sense, the local businesses.
Right, right.
Because they're giving 50% of the 50%.
Yeah, I know.
They're not making any money on it.
Right. So meanwhile, back to your offering, your deal, enough about these other guys, right? So, so what's kind of next, or what's your current challenges? What's, day to day, how would you like to, tweak things, or, what's on the horizon, I guess?
Yeah, we actually have investment. So right now we're working on some new technologies, like I said. So we're going to be rolling those out in the next month or two. So the challenges or kind of what's next is basically some go-to-market strategies, which we're working on. We have a white labeling opportunity already in place that we're launching an iOS and Android for another larger organization in May.
Right.
And that's going to help channel and funnel money to Motive deals, and also give really good advertisement.
Did you say Iowa? I thought you said Iowa.
Did I? I don't think so.
I was like, now you're going to launch the political campaign or whatever?
We're in Ohio. We have
Ohio.
But I didn't say that either.
Okay, yeah. All right, but this is way off tangent, but what about political campaign fundraising?
I have not even thought about that.
Well, add that.
I don't know if I want to.
Yeah.
Political?
Yeah, exactly. Get too controversial or whatever, yeah. let them do that. So talk to us about... what's been some of your secrets? We talked about some of your challenges. What's been kind of like, if you could share for up and comings, the new, startups or people want to get into a venture of their own, talk to us about, is it, hiring great people? Is it the product, the process?
Yeah.
Which of the three P's or all, or what are the elements?
I think most people who've been in business would say people are the most important. And you can have somebody who has a business degree, PhD, but if they're not motivated, they're not going to be doing well for your company. So I would say people, and it would be investing in people who are highly motivated and have integrity, and people that I can trust. Because that's a big one, too, as an entrepreneur. You always think, are they going to steal my idea?
Or right.
Whatever. So... I don't want to sound like a cynic, but I've been burned a few times, so I really don't trust anyone until they've really earned my trust.
Yep.
And it's just, that's an important kind of thing to know and live by.
That's not a bad rule. Yeah. You have to be careful that you don't get too, like you said, cynical or, but at the same time, and then there's the other, my school of thought is it's all about, I choose to live more from a perspective of abundance than scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you're kind of scared that people are going to take your idea, you kind of get in that Howard Hughes, you become so reclusive and it's about sharing, especially with, the World Wide Web. I mean, you can't.
Well, and also you think ATV is all about, dream big and love other people. And I really take it to that as well. And, when I'm sitting down having coffee with you, just meeting you, I really am trying to think, how can I better your company?
Right.
Because I know that it all comes back around. And I don't want to be the selfish entrepreneur. I want to be somebody who's giving in our community, because Atlanta we're in a really cool time right now.
Oh, big time, yeah.
And especially in the tech world, where we all need to be giving. We don't need to be segregated on, hey, that's what Alpharetta's doing, or that's what ATV is doing. We need to be hey, this is what Atlanta's doing.
Right, right. And what about aspiring entrepreneurs? You know, you kind of mentioned some points. If there was kind of one takeaway, is there something else you'd kind of leave with them? Or
I would say get up and go do it.
Right. Make it happen, right?
Yeah, make it happen.
Okay. So tell our listeners the best way to find out about your product service. I noticed you have a lot of social media applications there. So, you know, share with us how would reach out to you and find out about Motive.
Yeah, the best way is just go to motivedeals.com, motivdeals.com, and you can hit our contact us there, and we're on all social media, so you can tweet us or Facebook us and find out more.
Okay. One thing I didn't ask is kind of like, what's your business model? The obvious one I kind of left off the list there. So, what's the, what drives your revenue? You know, who pays your bills, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we're a SaaS model. So okay. Software as a service. So basically we make money through the fundraiser. Okay. So we cut a deal with organizations on percentages.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. All right. So, stick around. Thanks again for being on the show, and we'll, jump into our next interview and bring you back in for some follow-up questions. All right. So joining us on the show now are a couple of gentlemen from going to be talking to us about the Bitcoin Consumer Fair coming up. Welcome back, Jason Kronk and Stancil Johnson.
Thanks again for having us.
All right. So you guys busily taking notes right there. Whatever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. So so Jason, serial entrepreneur, three businesses under your belt. Longtime IT professional and a licensed attorney in Florida. You should have been on our Atlanta Legal Experts radio show this morning. We did a bunch of attorneys in the studio this morning. We got to get a twofer out of you. So, you know, you live there but as a child, you lived here up in, your dad was at Georgia Tech?
That's correct.
Okay. And you run a Bitcoin-related legal blog from the legal perspective. And you're also obviously the co-organizer of the Bitcoin Consumer Fair.
Yeah, that's all correct. So I moved here about a year and a half ago for a job. I work for NCR.
Okay.
But again, I'm a licensed attorney in Florida and have a longtime interest in what used to be called financial cryptography. Now it's called cryptocurrencies, and with Bitcoin is the latest variant of that.
Okay. All right. And Stancil, we were talking beforehand. You're originally from Pennsylvania?
Yes, a little place called Coatesville, Pennsylvania. I'm proud to be from there.
Okay. And how long here in Atlanta?
I've been here 21 years.
Okay.
Came here to basically stake my flag as to be an entrepreneur, and through a lot of ups and downs, that's how I fell into Bitcoin a year ago.
Okay. And so what's your little bit of background prior to Bitcoin?
Well, I've been primarily in sales, marketing, always looking for the cutting edge, the next big thing.
Okay.
If you want to make a lot of money in this world, you have to learn what can solve a lot of problems for people.
True.
And my association with Jason and Bitcoin, we see it as a vehicle to solve a lot of problems for billions, not millions,
right,
but billions.
All right. So that's why it's not called Mitcoin. It's called Bitcoin. Get that domain name, would you?
Good observation there.
Mitcoin. All right.
I'm registering it now.
Yeah. I think Mitt Romney already has that. We're going to type. Sorry. I'm still trying to pitch for some reason. Well, all the everybody throwing their hat in the ring. I'm thinking about throwing my hat in the ring. I don't know for what office. But meanwhile, so Bitcoin, you know, we've hear the term tossed around. But tell us, you know, in layman's terms, your elevator pitch, if you will, what is Bitcoin?
So the simplest thing is it's money for the internet. I mean, it is so much more than that, but for a lot of people, that's the simplest way to explain it.
Okay. And now what's the correlation with, because we've had a number of people in through the studio from Atlanta Tech Village, BitPay was there, and then they graduated, they went through the ceremony, and now they have their own facility. What's the tie-in, or where do they play into the Bitcoin?
So one of the interesting things about the Bitcoin ecosystem, if you take of something like a PayPal is one single company. Bitcoin is an ecosystem where there's hundreds of companies actually in the Bitcoin space. BitPay was an early company. Back, I used to go to an Orlando meetup group,
right.
And BitPay, Tony Gallippi, who's the CEO there, he was in Orlando, and he had gotten a burger and beer place to accept Bitcoin. So we used to go to our meetup group and pay with Bitcoin for our burgers and beer. So they are one of the early adopters. They eventually got some venture capital, moved to Atlanta, and have only expanded since then. So they're just one of the many companies and the biggest company in Atlanta that's involved in the space.
Right, right. So obviously we're going to talk about the consumer fair, but beforehand, just again from this, from the listener's perspective of Bitcoin, so it's not an actual coin. It's just internet currency, right?
No, it's digital currency.
Digital currency,
By the internet, you know, not without getting really technical.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, you have to mine Bitcoin. It's mathematical equations that's actually computated by computers all over the world.
Right.
There are things. There are people that are actually miners that mine this. You know, the one thing that I love about Bitcoin is nobody controls Bitcoin. The government or our government or no foreign government controls Bitcoin. It's pretty much out there.
You sure Google doesn't control? They control pretty much everything, don't they?
No.
They do not control. And let me add something to that because, again, pitching the Bitcoin Consumer Fair, Scott Driscoll, who is from Curious Inventor, who's local entrepreneur who runs the Atlanta Bitcoin Meetup group, he will be speaking on Bitcoin 101. He has the most viewed introduction to Bitcoin video on YouTube, over I think it's a 500,000 views.
Wow.
And he will be giving a Bitcoin 101 introduction that will do a lot better than we can do,
right,
to introduce it to the layperson.
And where will he be doing that?
He will be doing that at the Bitcoin Consumer Fair.
Duh.
And he is our start off speaker.
Oh, wow.
For our consumer and merchant track.
Okay. And so one last kind of big picture question, we'll get into kind of the fair and the idea behind this and all that good stuff, but still you know, people internationally, and how many countries are just on the internet, wherever you are. I mean, I'm still driving my head as a currency. It's an internet currency.
Well,
so if I'm in Istanbul, but it has to be tied to a local merchant that would, you know, redeem that for you, right?
Okay, let's look at it this way. If Kyle wanted to take the gentleman that spoke before us,
right,
if he wanted to take donations, say from someone in China,
right,
someone in Argentina,
right,
and they wanted to pay or donate via Bitcoin,
right,
he can do that seamlessly for almost nothing. And that's what a lot of people are attracted to Bitcoin. As this thing goes forward in time, it's going to start to help not only just for donations, but it's going to help the unbanked.
And but they have to have these currencies. You know, I have to have them in my Bitcoin account, right? So how do I acquire those?
So a good point.
Yeah.
So there's a number of ways to acquire Bitcoin. We're going to have a showcase at the fair of some Bitcoin ATMs that you can go up and put in cash.
Wow.
And get out Bitcoin.
That's bizarre.
Put to your wallet. And those are going in around the world. Another thing is to earn Bitcoin. And we think this is going to be a big vehicle. For instance, freelancers. We paid a number of freelancers to do work for the Bitcoin Consumer Fair in Bitcoin.
Right.
And that's something that can be done internationally with, as Danstall mentioned, very limited fees. Another use case that we think is really good, I was in Montreal last year and I was walking down the streets of Old Montreal and I happened upon a cafe that said, "We accept Bitcoin."
Right.
Unfortunately, I had just eaten, so I wasn't hungry. Right. But
to go, get something to go.
But the benefit there is no exchange rates, no having to deal with the cost of, you know, me getting back and my credit card showing an exchange rate Canadian dollar. I got hosed when I went into a restaurant that didn't accept credit cards, and I had to go across the street to one night for dinner, go across the street to my hotel, get Canadian dollars from U.S. dollars at a 1-to-1 ratio, which is a really bad ratio, and then go turn around and go back to the restaurant and pay in Canadian dollars. Whereas if everybody accepted Bitcoin, it's great for international use, and that's a perfect example.
A great selling point, yeah. Okay, so let's fast forward, jump ahead to the fair now. So what's the idea behind this? And is this the first of its kind here in Atlanta? Have there been other Bitcoin consumer fairs? Or?
Well, this is the first of its kind anywhere.
Really? Okay.
And the reason that Jason and myself come up with this concept, Jason has been in this space, as he said, a long time.
Right.
I'm an early or new adopter, I guess you could say, since last May. But the one thing that I've noticed, the two events that I've gone to, is it's always been Bitcoin insiders. So Jason and I said, wait a minute, why is it always Bitcoin insiders? Right. You know, in order for any business to thrive, like Kyle, that he talked about his business, in order for his business model to thrive, he has to have customers, has to. So Jason and I said, hey, you know what? Let us put together an event to where we can bring together the consumer and businesses so they can begin to meld into this technology.
So to backtrack on Stanzel's point, I've gone to a lot of Bitcoin conferences,
right.
And there's three things I've noticed. One, as you said, it's always this kind of the same people, the right. Bitcoin insiders. Two, they talk a lot about Bitcoin 2.0 technology, and I don't want to get into that. But
thank you. I'm still on 1.0.
Using Bitcoin,
I still haven't connected those dots.
Using Bitcoin technology for things other than a currency. And the third thing I noticed about going to these conferences is there wasn't a lot of opportunity for me to spend Bitcoin. So we wanted to hyper focus on having exhibitors that were selling things for Bitcoin. We have a food truck that's going to be serving lunch.
Yeah, I saw that on there. That got my attention, whatever.
And so we really wanted to people to get that experience, and for other businesses, and we've got people from the Georgia Restaurant Association, from the Food Truck Association coming to observe and see businesses actually use Bitcoin.
And to piggyback on this point, you mentioned BitPay. You know, even BitPay saw our vision, and we're very grateful for that. So I just wanted to say thank you to BitPay.
Absolutely. So at the event, it's, what are the hours again, or,
So it opens for setup Saturday morning at 8 a.m. We're going to have a hash brown breakfast, and that's a little play on because Bitcoin uses hashing technology in order to work. So we're having a hash brown breakfast. And then starting at about 10 o'clock, we'll have speakers start. Then lunch, like I said, outside the food truck vendor. We're going to have a contest, a Bitcoin bingo contest, where you have your Bitcoin address and you can win Bitcoin. It's free. Everybody is automatically entered. In fact, one of our sponsors is giving away to all attendees $2 in Bitcoin for free. And then, like I said, we'll have speakers throughout the evening, throughout the afternoon, and then in the evening we have the dance party.
Yeah, I saw this right here. The day starts with a free hash brown breakfast. So what is it? Hashtag hash brown?
No, but we'll start
Work
using
on that.
Now.
Yeah, yes. Go for it. Yeah. So who's the food truck going to be there? What type of?
So it's Gotta Have It food truck, and they're going to have a medley of I think there's five different dishes. International, nothing. They don't have a particular theme. Like they're not a Mexican food truck or something like that.
That would be my food truck. No theme food truck, whatever. Yeah. It's like, what do you want? We'll see if we can make it happen. But no, we had the food truck movement in here. That's why I was wondering if they're going to be out there. So, and then it finishes with the New York superintendent.
Benjamin Lasky, who is the superintendent of the New York Department of Financial Services, came out last year talking about Bitcoin and talking about our disco era payment network and described the SWIFT network and credit card networks as having been built in the 70s and not really substantially revolutionized since then. And he said we needed to update that and Bitcoin was a potential for that.
All right. Well said. So tell our listeners, how would they find out about the event and y'all?
Well, they can go to our website at www.bitcoinconsumerfair.com. And guess what? We'll even give your listeners 51% off of their ticket if they use the discount code. What is it, Jason?
It's the number 5, number 1, and then percent. So 51%.
Couldn't they just use Radio X for their discount code? Or,
you know, we will add that.
Make that happen. All right.
Scratch that. We'll use Radio X and give you 51% off.
Nice. Yeah, we were talking about beforehand, they were handing out discounts for 51%. I didn't understand that, but now I do. I feel like so much smarter right now, right? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Good answer. All right. Well, gentlemen, thanks for being here. Stick around. And we're calling your anchor man is going to be joining us in the studio. Welcome back, Wally. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Did you learn anything so far?
I learned a lot. Obviously, cryptocurrencies are a big thing happening in the payment space. And it's something that we're looking at as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Wally is joining us, and you're leading the mobile and omni-commerce division at Elavon, providing mobile payment assistance, mobile payment, and supporting commerce solutions to the market for merchants and partners globally. All right. Over 12 years experience in developing and delivering, supporting industry leading mobile and enterprise portfolios. Most recently helped Elavon launch The Groove. I love that name. Whatever.
Well, so it's The Grove, actually. So
oh,
that's all right.
I was all excited about The Groove.
Yeah. Well, The Grove.
Check on that. Yeah. Can you make the, you have your head security guy here making a note to
The Grove has its
group. So The Grove.
So
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. The Grove. All right, so meanwhile, and this is an innovation center focused on harvesting information in and around payments to help merchants grow their businesses.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's an investment that U.S. Bank, our parent company, made in Elavon in 2012 to help us start to act more like startups. So that tagline, harvesting innovation in and around payments to help customers grow our business, is really our mission, our goal. And we're trying to help the businesses out there really grow, and that's the item there. So looking at a payments provider as traditionally, what businesses used to do to look for growth in their business, accepting new types of tender, accepting or overspending potentially, going to credit, going to debit, giving new access to pay. And The Grove is putting a new spin on that from mobile, as well as omnicommerce to help our customers grow. So we're acting like a lot of the startups out in Silicon Valley or ATV or in Alpharetta or you know, different areas there. So we live that mantra as well inside a big company. So we're all kind of entrepreneurs inside a large company.
All right, and now we talked about mobile payments, and kind of a dumb question, but is there something that we don't think of when we think about mobile payments? I mean, kind of give us the overview of that.
Yeah, mobile payments.
What they might look like,
yeah,
I guess.
Mobile payments and mobile commerce is actually a big space when we start to look at it. If you look at all the statistics that are out there, and when we talked about statistics, 37.8%
right.
of statistics are made up on the spot.
Right.
Yeah, so, the statistics out there of mobile payments growth is really focused around e-commerce on a mobile phone. So if you're on a mobile phone, you're sitting there trying to buy something online, browsing a website, entering all your payment details, that becomes pretty painful. And obviously, Bitcoin is something that potentially could solve for that, or you know, create a better experience on mobile or different omnicommerce channels. There are other solutions out there as well. So that's one space. We start to break into that from remote mobile payments, so on your phone, but doing it face-to-face. There's been a big push for Apple Pay. Some new technologies coming out for other devices as well that are coming in the space. So that's using your mobile phone as a credit card.
Right.
And start to use that to pay as well.
And that's that... what do they call that? Like near...
near field communication.
Yeah.
So NFC is a buzzword. Yeah. Contactless. Yeah. It's really big globally. It's starting to get some traction here in the United States too. Still limited acceptance areas, but it's growing.
So it's more utilized in other countries than here?
Yeah. So in Europe, contactless and EMV. So this actually goes back to another acronym. So
yeah,
we're
help
really
me
big
out here.
Acronyms
yeah.
here. So EMV stands for Europay, MasterCard, Visa.
Okay.
It's a chip card technology. So if you have your credit cards coming out this year, you'll start to see them rolling in. There's a deadline out here for all the small, medium businesses. I think we talked about this.
Yeah, yeah. We had someone, Kim, I believe, in a while back.
Yeah.
Talking about that. Yeah.
There's a liability shift coming October 2015 for if you do not accept chip cards, you are now at risk for the owning the liability against that fraud that comes in on Magstripe cards. So it's a big shift here for the industry. And with that driving and rolling out is near field communication. So all the new terminals that are coming out for acceptance have near field communication as well. You should make sure you buy one that has that technology.
So those are the guys at Starbucks where they're just swiping their phone. First time I saw that, I'm like, you know, stop messing with your phone. Would you just pay? You know?
No, yeah. The Starbucks actually uses another technology called QR codes. That's very big as well, too. It's all about the technology behind it. No matter what the redemption mechanism, there's a lot of different people in the mobile payment space that are out there attacking it from different areas.
Now, is this in the same space where I thought I was pretty high tech. I had the Starbucks gold card, right? So I just load my money on there and I go there and they just swipe it and it takes it off. But now they're wanting me to put that on my mobile device, right? So is that NFC or is that different or is that back to the QR code?
It can be. So when you tie it into technology things that are coming out like Apple Pay or Samsung Pay, they're all using either another host card emulation mode for Samsung Pay, which is HCE, NFC. These are all technologies around the redemption side, but we shouldn't confuse ourselves as consumers or even businesses around that. So just have contactless acceptance to accept these new technologies coming out. QR codes are new things that you can look at as well, which are readily available in businesses.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
scan barcodes all the time, but it's a slight twist on it. They're imaging scanners versus barcode scanners. So new technologies coming out from different places there to drive that acceptance.
Are we just going to have a barcode on our thumb or whatever and just swipe our thumb or whatever?
Oh, well, we got fingerprints now. So that's one of the great things about Apple Pay. You can use your finger to pay and that's secured. So,
what?
Are
you just making this part up?
No.
For real?
So everybody's probably scared about security and mobile payments, but it's actually more secure than your plastic card that's out there today. Far more secure. So to actually provision your card to your mobile device, It's not the legitimate card that's sitting on your phone. It's a token.
Right.
So it's a reference number to that card that can be changed out dynamically. And if you actually lose your physical card, it doesn't disrupt your payment on your mobile phone.
Oh, yeah.
And then to activate, as you wave your phone over the contactless point, you have to put your fingerprint on there. So it actually validates you locally to your device. So the same thing that in your new iPhone 6 or iPhone 6 Plus that you or Samsung Edge 6 device or Samsung Galaxy 6 or Edge 6 devices, same thing you use to unlock your phone, you use it to pay as well. So it really is another layer of security on top of that.
So while I'm up late watching the late night TV talk shows, these guys are just doing all, coming up with all these gizmos and gadgets and technologies, right? So talking to a statistic, and I didn't make this up because it's printed right here on paper. So the mobile and tablet-based point of sale is slated to be $90 billion just in the U.S. market.
Yeah, no. So if we actually shift and pivot here to another dimension in mobile payments is actually acceptance. So a lot of people may know what Square is from a business acceptance solution. There's a lot of new tablet-based solutions or mobile-based solutions that are entering the market. So the traditional players that provide you your kiosk-based management solutions like your Microsys or the NCRs in the world that are out there are now either pivoting themselves or new startups are actually pivoting towards tablets and offering business solutions there that service quick service restaurants, fine dining restaurants, retail, service-based industries, you name it. There are people out there attacking that market.
Yeah, I mean, I was rarely in the mall. I wasn't, a mall goer until we moved our studio right across from Lenox Mall. And most days I'll just take the elevator down, go out there and grab something to eat at the mall. And I remember a couple of times I was walking by a store and then I walked into just browsing and the sales clerk was just had a tablet just floating around the store or whatever, right? And I'm like, what are they doing, on their Facebook or what's going on? And I think it was actually a while back, even before then. And I'm looking for the register. There was like no register. It was just all their transactions were just on the handheld device.
Yeah, no, Apple Store is probably the one that's made that famous as well. But Nordstrom, it used to be the gold star.
Yeah. Right,
So you go to Nordstrom and they're really modifying their solution and system to better service their customers. So it creates a better experience. It gets to your sales reps out on the floor, interacting with the customers, helping them do things and putting technology in the power of their hands. So it's great.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I think, from a business perspective, obviously we're Business Radio X. So how does this apply in terms of cost savings as opposed to traditional, cash registers, if you will, or having the device? Because, there's a lot of costs, especially if you're, operating a big box store with more than one terminal, right?
Yeah, we mentioned Apple and Nordstrom, and this is not an Apple and Nordstrom or, big box retailer solution set. This is available for small and medium businesses. And the great thing about this is technology has evolved over the last couple of years with secure cloud-based hosting solutions, bigger data pipes for 4G and LTE, obviously the prevalence and distribution of mobile devices and tablet devices and use and understanding that. And that has actually brought the cost to purchase these kinds of solutions down significantly. So traditionally, you pay $15,000 for a kiosk-based terminal that will run your business with a maintenance fee annually in the thousands of dollars. And now you can acquire this hardware for 10% of that cost. So that includes an iPad and everything else to run your business. So you're talking about $1,500. So it's a major shift in businesses and a major solution service provided them. They now have the analytics and the power of a Walmart to drive their business and grow their business. And it comes at a low monthly subscription fee and, sub $50.
So just the local merchant can be up and running with that device and probably less maintenance. Right.
Absolutely. They can take their Sundays back. So that's a big thing as well.
Slogan right there, man. Yeah. Well, you probably already have that one. Yeah.
You're not balancing your books. It's one of our partners actually uses that as well. But you're not balancing on Sunday. You can do it from anywhere. You're connected. You can tie into your business. You can manage your sales reps or employees. And you can manage your inventory too and really find out what's working well for you. So a great thing, insights to action is, understanding which products sell well together.
Right.
And now making potentially offers or coupons or discounts to actually bundle those together. You could also find out stagnant inventory. So if you have something that's been sitting on your shelves for a retailer or even a restaurant, that's perishable foods.
Big time.
So you've got to move that product and get that out. But these kinds of platforms give you that insights to make easy decisions that you otherwise wouldn't know.
I guess it would apply get your Sundays back unless you're in the church business and you're collecting, because they could do that instead of passing the basket around. Yeah, just pass around the iPad. Everybody's putting their money right there, right?
Absolutely. Or collect your Bitcoins, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Wow. So talk to us about, you know, a business that's looking for a mobile payment solution. What's what do y'all offer?
We partner with two different companies at this point in time. One's local based, a larger company, NCR Silver, and the silver product that's been sold out by NCR.
Oh, really? So they offer your services?
Yeah, so we resell and distribute that solution. Then we also work with a small company, startup, out of Silicon Valley called Talic, and they offer a really depth and breadth solution that covers restaurant and retail pretty significantly.
I didn't know, because we had NCR Silver in here. I didn't know y'all were aligned with them.
Yeah, we were one of the first partners to roll out with NCR back in 2012, September-ish, when they started rolling their pilots out. And we've had a great success with the product. We're probably one of the larger companies that are distributing and selling these on a monthly basis. And we have people that are buying them up, especially with the conversion to EMV that we talked about. If you're going to make an investment in a new terminal set, you might as well buy ahead and get something that's future-proof that really helps you manage your business.
Now, we've been giving, not that they need it or not that they're going to pay us, but get a lot of plugs for Apple and all their gizmos and gadgets. What about our Android guys?
Yeah, Android, you don't have to wait too long.
I always feel like we're second class, whatever.
Google actually came out in 2011 with the Google Wallet. You know, didn't take off as much as they thought it was going to, but the resurgence is coming back with Android Pay as well as Samsung Pay. So Samsung has new devices that are out there, Galaxy 6. They've been public and announcing that they're going to support mobile payments as well. And they also have a cool technology in there where they can actually make it work on traditional terminals. So you actually don't have to upgrade your hardware as well.
Oh, wow.
They have just acquired a company called Loop Pay that emulates a MagStripe technology. So they'll have more acceptance points than Apple does. But nonetheless, you know, as the movement towards contactless happens, there'll be acceptance for mobile devices everywhere.
Okay. You guys will be buying out motive deals?
It's a great partnership opportunity there, obviously.
Right. All right. So, okay. So what about, we talked last time about security issues. You kind of touched on it. So, what about this, you know, what's the last place I'd want to put my credit card or debit card, you know, my phone? What's the security issues involved in that?
Yeah. So we talked about the tokens representing, the card number. So it's not legitimately there. If somebody steals your phone, obviously you have to lock it with your fingerprint or a strong passcode. So you have more security there. If you lose your credit card today, you're rapidly trying to go out there and, you know, call all the numbers, find the numbers to deactivate it and move it forward. One of the great things that happened to me, actually a personal experience and extra security here on Christmas Eve, was spending the time in Marietta with my family, and my phone notified me that my credit card was just used in the UK for Google services. So I, through Apple Pay, my Amex. So immediately I jumped on the phone, called the Amex support line, and started the process of canceling my card. And lo and behold, 5 minutes into that conversation, the fraud team at Amex calls me. So I was actually ahead of the fraud team there on the phone. I switched over, canceled the card, but literally allows you to connect, manage your financial services, stay connected all the way. Mobile really provides that, which we didn't have before.
Yeah, I mean, it's just mind-boggling, right? I mean, and you've been at this for what? You said 12 years?
12 years
in the industry.
Mobile. Yeah, so started my career at a local startup here called Synchrologic, who exited to Nokia. We were doing the mobile email, mobile email was a big craze with BlackBerries you know, everything coming out. And then about 2007, it kind of became a commodity and everybody had it. So I looked to shift into a new business place, and payments on mobile was a great intersection that was coming in about 2010 and broke into that myself.
It's funny that you can feel old just by referencing BlackBerry, right?
Yeah.
I mean, time just flies in your space, especially,
15 years of mobile is the life of what it's
been. Oh, yeah, you're like the Einstein, of our Albert Edison, of mobile payments. So, you know, what's next? Or first of all, how would our audience find out about y'all's services and offerings?
Well, you can go to www.elavon.com, or you can call us at 1-866-671-1583, and you can learn more about the services and solutions that we have there. So
cool.
Great to get in touch. We have more offerings that we have out there, loyalty offers, new partnerships with potentially motive deals that could be in the works.
Striking
as well.
A deal here or whatever. Yeah. Money talks. If he offers you $6 billion, Kyle, go for it. I'm just saying.
I will not be the Google or Groupon.
I'm not striking any deals, but if it does happen, what's a legitimate percentage? 51%?
10%.
Yeah, not even on Shark Tank did they get 51%. All right, so thanks again for being here, and we're going to kind of open it up to a panel discussion here and see if there's any conversation or questions amongst our Guess looks like Jason's ready to jump in. You got some notes here. Go.
Oh, I've got some notes here.
All right.
So first off, you mentioned NTR Silver. Did you have Reggie Kimball?
Yeah, we had Reggie in
so
here.
Reggie will be speaking at the Bitcoin Consumer Fair and talking about NTR's experience in NTR Silver acceptance of Bitcoin.
I'm telling you, all the movers and shakers come through this studio.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right?
Not three degrees, happy to be here.
Not three degrees of separation, one.
Right? Nice, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I wanted to mention, you asked Kyle about political donations.
Yeah.
Well, Rand Paul just came out last week and announced that he was accepting Bitcoin for his presidential campaign.
That's bizarre, right?
In fact, the past 2 years ago, I donated Bitcoin to somebody running for governor in Florida. So Bitcoin is definitely happening in the political space.
For Bitcoin, is there a current website like freelancer.com that actually is solely made for Bitcoin? Like if I need some artwork done, can I go to Bitcoin
Fiverr?
So Fiverr accepts Bitcoin.
Okay.
Really?
Yes, Fiverr does accept Bitcoin, and that's what I said. I paid for some of the things we've done for the Bitcoin Consumer Fair with Bitcoin through Fiverr. Unfortunately, some of the bigger ones like Elance and Odesk do not yet, but I anticipate them coming on board at some point.
Plus, you can buy gift cards or pay with Gift. Gift has a array of different retailers, and then you can buy their gift card with Bitcoin, and then you can go and shop. You know, I don't want to name the names, but you can go and shop via them. So Bitcoin is
getting Amazon. Man, if you get Amazon, game over, right?
Yes.
So he's like,
now there is, now interestingly enough, there is a service, I can't remember the name of it, where you can go on Amazon, create a wish list, and then people who have Bitcoin will go buy those things for you, and you can essentially, or who want Bitcoin, I can't remember exactly, but you can essentially buy stuff on Amazon for Bitcoin at significant discounts for people who are trying to sell their Bitcoin at a discount. So it's an interesting mix. Once Amazon accepts Bitcoin, it might kill that market, but it's an interesting business idea.
Now, we had talked to I think it's a Uber Trade or no, Uber Barter. What about having a barter company conversation? Is there any similarities there, or with Bitcoin? Bitcoin is more in the currency space. It's not really. But you mentioned where people could donate at that site and then kind of trade. So you're almost like trading.
And currency was kind of the step up from bartering. So when you're not trading goods or items, I'm not giving you, two goats for a thing of milk or something like that. You're actually giving Bitcoin. So Bitcoin still acts as a currency. It's still that step up for it. But
so it's not two goats for your iPhone or whatever.
Yeah, right, exactly. So,
the important thing about Bitcoin is that now the technology, or there are companies that's moving slightly off the currency space. Like there's a company called Factum. I love what Factum is doing with transaction recording, especially in a real estate space. So Bitcoin is more than a currency.
So as we're looking at the Bitcoin technology, there's been a lot of press in there. It's starting to test the waters of no such thing as bad press. Do you guys feel that any of the recent press is hurting Bitcoin?
Certainly some of it has. I mean, I talked to a number of people who are not familiar enough with Bitcoin who say, well, didn't Bitcoin go bankrupt, or weren't they, didn't it go out of business? Because they confuse
Bitcoin. Seems a lot of uncertainty,
They confuse Bitcoin, the technology, with a company. And Bitcoin is like HTTP or TCP/IP. It's a protocol. It's a technology. It's not a company. There may be companies that have experienced problems, but Bitcoin, the technology, continues.
Or individuals in our government, right?
Sure.
Right. I had a question for Wally. You talked about the whole passcode on your phone while you're doing Apple Pay. What if you don't have a passcode on your phone? Can somebody steal your phone and just use Apple Pay on
it? So actually, when you set up Apple Pay to put your cards in there, it forces you actually set a passcode. So that's a good thing that I actually talk about internally, is about personal security. So we look at all the breaches that have happened here for data being stolen at merchants and other areas like that. We all look to them to secure their business,
right?
But we need to look at our personal selves, and I'm a victim or
you were
fraud,
but
also I am also an offender from not protecting my own security as well. So how often do we individually change our personal email address passwords or our banking account passwords? We probably need to start to look at that a little bit more, just to make sure that we're on owning our own security as well. So having a passcode on your phone, absolutely. I know it's a little impediment there, but using your fingerprint to unlock that's pretty
huge.
Seamless.
Yeah,
so I mean, it's the balance between user experience and security, I think we finally met that with biometrics.
And then I had one more question for you. Have you heard of the Atlanta-based company Sifted? It's so you said no?
No, I have not actually. No.
So Sifted, you mentioned that your company can do something where they help people move product and when they know that it might be going bad or whatever. Sifted is they have a product called Orally where they can actually, it's all technology based, where they can get like a Pure Taqueria on board where they can set it up where Pure orders everything through there and they know, you know, what's expiring and all that. I don't know if that would be a good kind of connection with you, but it's a well-funded Atlanta startup.
I'll definitely get that information from you. That's a good business utility that we'd love to offer as well.
Yeah. We also had Sifted in the studio too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's Joe bizarre. Yeah.
Okay.
That's crazy.
I've got a question for Wally. I think you touched on security from your actual credit card with the stripe on it versus going over to mobile. And I know that there are, unfortunately, some people in this world that would like to walk up to you and just touch you and maybe steal that information off that stripe. Could you explain to the audience what's the benefit going mobile versus just having that plastic card?
Yeah, so if we contactless sitting in cars, you can actually steal that all the time. So I won't name the restaurants, but locally there's been a couple restaurants where there's been some fraud where a waiter takes a card and just rips it off.
I had that happen.
And copies the MaxDrive card, and all of a sudden, an hour later, they've been to X number of gas stations and places where they're not really checking as much to take your money. The shift to mobile and contactless, there's been a lot of press, let's talk about it, about how you could actually radio into somebody's phone and steal the actual contact details. Now, if that were possible, which it's not because we are secured and those modules are turned off based off of activation for your fingerprint, so you can't get the data unless you actually put your fingerprint there. Now, we can go down the mob zone if they steal your phone and cut your fingers off. Okay, they
or just take you with your phone or whatever. Yeah,
but
yeah,
like they go to
there's a lot of worst case scenarios. I mean, they can go up to an ATM machine and make you put in your PIN.
So, even if they were to steal that number is not usable in any other format or medium except for on your phone. Wow. So that's not transferable. It's not
like a PIN number.
It's not like a PIN number. It's not like a credit card number. It's completely something different.
So in your opinion, in your opinion, how fast is for your company, is that moving into the marketplace to obviously protect people?
It's moving fast, very fast, faster than it ever has, mostly because of the recognition at the Hill, at the top, if we go to,
like you said, October, right? It's going to be mandatory.
Well, absolutely. With EMV, tokenization, a lot of the banks are getting together to come up with new secure ways to process. Cryptocurrencies are definitely something that's talked about. Is it Bitcoin or is it another, modification of that? I think it's a great technology that's been used and will transform the payments industry, I think, over time.
So I just wanted to mention there are some ATMs with pulse detectors because of exactly the problem of, in certain countries, people getting their fingers cut off to do that. So you may eventually see Apple iPhones with pulse detectors on their fingerprints. I'm just saying.
Yeah. this fingerprint, you kind of talked about it, but is that technology right now that's in place, or no? That's on the
that's available right now on every iPhone 6, yeah. iPhone 6,
but not
Plus,
on the Androids.
On the Android devices too. So the Galaxy 6 devices and the 6 Edge that have been launched and rolled out as well.
What about
actually already have pulse detection and a lot of the phones? It's a capacitive touch, so you can't. At Nokia, going resistive touch versus capacitive touch, and Nokia was big on resistive, which is pressure based versus heat sensitive based, and that was big for those that are in the north in Europe because it's cold and it's winter,
right.
And they had their gloves on there.
Oh, yeah.
But all the technology that's used today is capacitive, so you have to have a pulse or heat or warmth to activate your phone.
What about my flip phone or my brick phone? I have a brick phone here.
Your Nokia Razor.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
I guess great companies do fall. So
yeah, I have. Sometimes I call people and I say, "I'm calling you from my car phone." They're like, "Well, actually, every cell phone is a car phone when you're driving, right?" Yeah. All right. So other questions, but actually, we talked about this question at the beginning. Just interesting y'all's perspective. At what point is a startup no longer kind of a startup, right? Because where is there a graduation point? You feel like. It's like you talk to some of these parents and they say, yeah, kids, 12 months, 15, 16 months old. But then, they get to what's a certain point that he's 72 months old or 312 months old, right? I mean, Kyle, what do you think? Where's the benchmark of besides just, no longer pre-revenue? I mean, there's not any quantitative, but
EBITDA?
It's hard because you got
EBITDA.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to say it's hard because you got Yik Yak, who they're only a year or so old, and they have $70-something million. I mean, they're still a startup, but then but they still haven't even made any money. So it's really tough to tell.
Yeah, because I just see all these people like I'm in the newest startup, I'm pre-revenue, but I don't know. I mean, it's like I heard somebody say too when you're talking about a business. Say I'm a small business owner. Why not just say you're a business owner?
Yeah.
No, right? I don't think there's a point, but I'd say it's when you stop taking money and you start, you know, self-funding. I think that's the point when you start to graduate out of the startup. There's probably different points in there and how much money you're making or not. But when you become self-sustainable, you're now more of an early stage company, an innovator,
yeah.
But maybe not necessarily a startup.
And you were talking, me and you were talking about SalesLoft, and you know, they're starting to make money, and yeah. they just took in $10 million. But I think eventually they're not a startup. They're starting to be what you just said.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I was. I don't think we've had them in here yet, but I did their trial. It was over at ATV and walking through their facility, and it's just they have their numbers flashing up on the board what they're currently doing. It's crazy.
Yeah, congratulations to Kyle and the rest of the teams over there for doing a great job. Yeah, yeah. So.
But I think what's unique about Awala, your position is, like you said, you're kind of in this huge sandbox, but I think great ideas come from this startup mindset or mentality, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to tap the good ideas out there. I mean, we're about distributing and growing other companies too, so we love partnerships. We obviously eat our own dog food and build some of our own solutions too, so that way we can better prepare for engagements with startup companies as well. But it's where do you find ideas? And you're not going to make them all up yourself, so you got to look out there and test the waters and work with other companies.
I love these big companies like his that are now seeing the fact that success today is all about partnerships. And yeah. even the big companies, I think now are starting to realize that. And, you know, I know that because I'm a small company and I have a couple friends or companies that we kind of cross pollinate and do stuff with. But I think this is that's an awesome thing that they're doing.
Yep. I concur. All right, gentlemen. Once again, just to remind our listeners, the best way to get in touch with you and your company and services?
Elevon.com. Phone number is 1-866-671-1583.
Go ahead, Jason.
BitcoinConsumerFair.com or on Twitter, Bitcoin Consumer.
And Twitter, is that still a startup? Or
Yes.
I heard Google's going to buy them.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they wish. Yeah, serious?
Yes, seriously.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, sorry to interrupt, but... have you all heard of this newest thing? Was it the Periscope? That just came out. Actually, we had our intern in here, and he brought it into the studio to a live stream. It was just like 3 days old.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching it the other week on CNBC. They're doing a huge story about it, right? It's only three weeks old.
Did you hear that Twitter was trying to reach out to celebrities and telling them stop using Meerkat, which is basically Periscope, right? Because Twitter is buying out Periscope.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's interesting.
I just want to be somebody buy me out. Hey, would you buy me?
Create something viral and you can do it.
Right here, man. We got it right here. Everybody's coming through Business Radio X Studio. Buy me out. Make me an offer. Yeah, we'll talk after the show. Yeah.
What's your WhatsApp?
What's that?
What's your WhatsApp?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What
is
it, $16, $19 billion exit?
Yeah, yeah. Anything below that, between $1.50, I'm good, yeah. All right, so sorry there. I got excited about Periscope. But that is a phenomenon. We had it live streaming here, and we're thinking about kind of incorporating that. But right now, the shelf life, it expires. Correct me if I'm wrong, like after 12 hours or 24 hours. But, well, this may be off. We'll do this off the air. So we're almost out of time. So, Kyle, talk to us.
Yeah, Motive Deals Fundraising. You can find more at motivedeals.com, motivdeals.com.
All right. Rich Casanova, Business Radio X. We may or may not be a startup, but we're definitely moving forward. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all next week.